Now, the Buckeye Extra Podcast with Rob Aller, Bill Rabinowitz, and Joey Kaufman from the Columbus Dispatch.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to a late night edition of the Buckeye Extra Podcast by the Columbus Dispatch. I'm Joey Kaufman. I'm joined here by Bill Rabinowitz. We are coming from Bill's living room, reacting to late breaking news that Matthew Baldwin, one of the three quarterbacks on Ohio State's roster in contention for the starting job, is transferring.
Yes, and if you hear a dog barking in the background, that's my beloved Ellie. So hopefully she'll be quiet, but I can't make any promises. She's a puppy, so, you know, it might be a cameo by the dog. But yeah, this was big news. Obviously, unexpected news. I've talked to people from Ohio State. They were caught off guard by this. They didn't have any inkling at the spring game that this was potentially coming. The view is, and Matthew Baldwin addressed this in his statement, it was more than football, that he actually enjoyed the competition with Justin Fields, that it was not really a football decision. He was having a tough time and decided he wanted to transfer. And the thought is that he's going to transfer to a school back in Texas and continue his career there.
Yeah, it seems to be a thing that really surprised a lot of people. I think most people really expected Matthew Baldwin to kind of stay at Ohio State, win or lose the competition. He wasn't a grad transfer, so you didn't have a case where he was going to be able to graduate and go play elsewhere immediately. You also had a kid with an interesting backstory. He was at Lake Travis and waited until his senior year for a chance to start. So he had been a guy who had shown patience in the past and not really transferred at all and kind of stuck through it. So this really, I think, caught a lot of people by surprise. And even talking to some of the people kind of around him tonight, a lot of people who kind of were close with him, kind of this was, they took them by surprise as well. So it's something that really kind of happened all in really in the last week.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, Ohio State viewed him as a guy. Now, Ryan Day and other coaches have been very careful all spring to not name a leader in the quarterback competition. Most people thought that Justin Fields was the leader in the practices that the media was able to see. He took most of the first team reps, but Ryan Day was steadfast in not declaring anybody a front runner. Said at the spring game that the competition would extend into the fall preseason camp. Well, that's clearly not the case now. And, you know, this is all on Justin Fields. This is his team now. If there was any doubt beforehand, because a backup is Chris Chuganoff, who's a grad transfer from West Virginia. And he was, no offense to Chris Chuganoff, but he was not being counted on to play substantial, meaningful minutes at Ohio State. And if he has to, that's going to be an issue, a major issue for Ohio State.
He really didn't even seem to get the customary throw-in when the coaches talked about the quarterback competition. Sometimes you get a case where they try and be very diplomatic and mention basically every scholarship quarterback. They really kind of only talked about Baldwin and Justin Fields.
Yeah, it was interesting. Thing though, when I had a sit down with Ryan Day before spring practice, the first quarterback he mentioned when I brought up the quarterbacks was Chuganoff. He kind of threw him a bone there and was very complimentary about how he had helped people in the room and just what a good teammate he was. But there's a big difference between that and saying, okay, Chris Chuganoff, your Ohio State is entrusted to you. So this is clearly Justin Fields' team now. I think most people thought that it probably was anyway, but now you don't have any kind of backup that you feel confident in. I think they would have felt reasonably confident in Matthew Baldwin. And it also should be said that just because you enter the transfer portal doesn't mean that you're committed to leaving. But the feeling is, and Matthew Baldwin really in his statement made it pretty clear, he's not coming back. And so Ohio State is going to have to go on the transfer portal, get a graduate transfer, somebody who's eligible immediately. That it's, the issue isn't 2 years down the road. The issue is this year. Jack Miller's coming in next year, the highly touted freshman in the 2020 recruiting class. But they need some reinforcements right now, and they're going to have to probably go the grad transfer route for that.
Before we take a deeper dive into some of their future options, let's take a quick pause to hear a word from our sponsor.
You have to stand behind a statement like, the best buying experience in the business. Rosati Windows believes the right way to do business is really pretty simple. You have to be honest. You have to have integrity, and you have to care about what the customer is selling you and respond accordingly. Mike Rosati realizes that people have options when choosing replacement windows, which is why he trains all of his employees on the principle that the customer always comes first. Everyone who works at Rosati Windows cares about what they do and the product they put out, from sales through manufacturing manufacturing to the installation and all the way down until when they peel that last piece of film off the window. They are not going to leave your home until everything is right. It's this sort of commitment that Rosati Windows can proudly stand behind a statement like, Rosati Windows is the best buying experience in the business.
And let's talk a little bit more about Matthew Baldwin. Bill, you wanted to read something, I think?
Yeah, just hit a statement tonight. The most pertinent part of it, he thanked Ohio State. He thanked the trainers, Adam Stewart and Coach Day and many others. Again, he described competing with Justin as an incredible experience. He said, I was really proud of what I did, and I'm excited about my progress. He said, at the same time, spring was a tough time for me personally. My family and I have prayed and talked a lot about where I belong and what is best for me. In the end, we feel like it'd be better for me to step away from Ohio State. I want everyone to know this isn't done out of anger or frustration, but I'm not just a football player. So what exactly that means, it's hard to know. He didn't elaborate on that, and we'll see if any more information comes out about it, but... You know, the fact is that Matthew Baldwin is gone, or is going to be gone, and it leaves a pretty big void.
Yeah, I mean, it seems the comments that he made seem to kind of lend some of the idea to the homesickness thing. And
right.
The flip side of that coin is if he was a guy who was going to maybe start, would he feel less homesick? Rob Aller is not on this podcast, but I also talked to Rob this evening, and he mentioned that maybe the horseshoe feels a little more like home if you're about to be the starter. So that's kind of the other side of the coin as well, and something I think maybe to think about.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it worked that way. I mean, it's a lot easier or when two things in your life are not going your way, they kind of compound. And so I think he probably knew in the back of his mind he was probably not going to be the starting quarterback. And then if he's unhappy for whatever reason in other aspect of his non-football part of his life, then it's very easy to say, well, I'm 1,000 miles from home or whatever Austin, Texas is from Columbus, and I want to be closer to home. There may be other factors that we just don't know about. There's just,
yeah.
You know, I tried to reach some other people close to him and didn't have any luck. And I know that you talked to somebody tonight, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can share what you learned.
Yeah, I called up his offensive coordinator from high school, Michael Wall, and he was a guy who was very close with Matthew throughout the recruiting process, and he found out through Twitter. He had kind of exchanged some text messages with Matthew earlier in the week, but it caught a lot of people by surprise. It was not something that he had really consulted with him on, and it kind of goes with the larger theme of just how kind of surprising it is. And I don't think this is something that probably the coaching staff is really thrilled about. You don't get to have, they wanted to continue the competition into the fall. I mean, as kind of heralded as Justin Fields is, he's still an unproven guy. They've only worked with him for one spring camp and 15 right. practices. And also Ryan Day recruited Matthew Baldwin. He kind of handpicked him. And one of the stories that the high school coaches told about Matthew Baldwin's recruitment was when Ryan Day went down there kind of late in the 2017 season, Matthew Baldwin's recruiting was starting to pick up. He was a guy who was starting to gain a lot of interest. And those coaches were surprised that Ohio State was recruiting him because they say, coach, this isn't the guy you typically go after. Fresh in their minds was JT Barrett, Braxton Miller. You had Cardale Jones in there for a little bit. But for the most part, the prototypical Ohio State quarterback under Urban Meyer was a guy who was going to run and be a dual threat guy. And with Matthew Baldwin, Ryan Day was kind of changing the formula for how he picked quarterbacks. He went after Matthew Baldwin. They started throwing the ball more. Dwayne Haskins, they were going to kind of continue going that route. So on a personal level, I'm sure Ryan Day isn't particularly thrilled by this.
No, and it's funny. You think about a year ago, your quarterbacks were on the roster. Dwayne Haskins, Joe Burrow, Tate Martell, and Matthew Baldwin. All of them are gone. And, you know, Haskins had the ridiculously good year that prompted him to go to the NFL, which nobody is begrudging. But Ohio State expected to have Dwayne Haskins as a starting quarterback for more than 1 year. And the fact that he took off the way he did and closed the way he did, I think Ohio State even until the end, the very end, expected Dwayne Haskins to come back. Then he had the big game against Michigan, against Northwestern, against Washington, and that changed things. But it put Ohio State into a bind. They were fortunate, obviously, that Justin Fields came. Imagine where they'd be without Justin Fields. Now, I think Baldwin would have clearly been the quarterback, or Tate Martell would have stayed. I mean, it's a different dynamic, but...
Less homesick.
You're right. But it was, yeah, you're still, it's amazing to think that the turnover has been what it's been at the quarterback position in less than 12 months. I don't think Burrow decided for sure until, it wasn't this or this quickly after spring practice, I don't think. And, you know, this is the first real big test for Ryan Day. His first few months have gone as well as he could really have hoped, as smoothly as you could have hoped. He kept the recruiting class more or less together, only lost one or two players. He got Justin Fields, he got got Zach Harrison, which was a huge get at the end of the recruiting cycle. You know, things were going pretty well. And this is the one you go, okay, well, now they don't have a safety net, a quarterback, and that's a pretty big deal.
It really, I think, with Matthew Baldwin's transfer, kind of really underscores how hard it is to build a roster of quarterbacks now, because you're going to have a starter and a guy who's going to play, and you're not going to have a lot of guys who are going to sit around and waiting. And certainly guys that are high caliber, you're not going to really have 3-4 quality guys. You're going to have maybe a freshman in there who's clearly a project, but you're not going to have kind of a redshirt sophomore guy who's hanging around as a competent starter, because at that point they're going to want to leave. I think it's really hard to build a roster of quarterbacks, because basically nowadays you're going to sign a quarterback and either the kid's going to start or he's going to transfer if he doesn't start. Nobody's going to really stick around and be a four-year backup.
Yeah, you look at what happened with Alabama. Jalen Hurts transfers to Oklahoma. And you look at Clemson. It was a Kelly Bryant who left when Trevor Lawrence took over as a freshman. You know, Justin Fields left Georgia because he couldn't beat out Jake Fromm. So that's the nature of the position. And it is unique among positions because there's only one quarterback who can play. If you're a wide receiver, it doesn't matter if there are two or three others. You're going to get the ball plenty. You're going to play plenty. Running back, you know, whatever. Offensive line is a little different, but there are five spots on the line. You can move from guard to tackle or center or whatever. There's one quarterback, and they all have that. They're all the alpha male kind of person. That's why they're quarterbacks. And the idea of sitting these days and waiting 2 or 3 years and biding your time, like Baldwin did in high school, it's a pretty rare occurrence now, because kids, like you said, Joey, they want to start as soon as possible, and they get impatient. Now, again, Baldwin said in his statement that it really was not a football decision. So, you know, what that is, we don't know. So it wasn't entirely that. But I do think, look, if he'd been the starter at Ohio State, if it was clear that he was going to be the guy, I think he would have stuck it out. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's an unreasonable assumption. It may be wrong, but I think that's probably a fair way of looking at it.
I think the thing that really hurts with him is he was a 3-star guy. He wasn't really a guy who came in expecting to play right away. So I think that's really where it stings. He was kind of seen as a developmental guy. He's going to be in the program 3 years. Maybe he's a guy who's kind of a right fit, a guy who's willing to buy in, and maybe starts where his fourth year in the program, where most guys aren't like that. You look at the way Georgia kind of stockpiled quarterbacks from Jacob Eason, Jake Fromm, Justin Fields. Jacob Eason ended up transferring after Fromm started. Justin Fields ended up transferring because when you stockpile those 5 stars, they're going to want to go run their own program. And I think that's kind of the disappointing thing for going to be for a lot of fans in the program with Baldwin leaving, is because he was a guy you thought you could maybe bank on to kind of stick around.
And not only that, by all accounts, he's a great kid. He's a smart guy. He's a scholar student. You talk to him and he's an impressive guy. He's got a lot of poise to him, a lot of maturity to him. A great family. I mean, I've met both of his parents. Very, very nice people, sharp people. And that's the kind of guy that you want in your room, even if he's never more than a backup. Just from a leadership perspective, from a culture perspective, he's the kind of guy you want in that room, because he will tell the younger players, this is the way we do it. This is how it's done here. And he had enough natural leadership qualities that they would have followed. They would have listened to him. And so you're now left with a room of a guy who's been there 2 months, 3 months, Justin Fields, Chris Chuganoff, who is there basically to be a presence in the room, but he's only been here a year. Mm-hmm. He came the last summer, and you got Danny Vanatsky, a walk-on from Cincinnati, who I don't even know that he threw a pass in the spring game. I mean, that's when guys like that get to play, and he didn't play much. I mean, I can assure you, if Ryan Day had any inkling that this was coming, he would have made sure that Chuganoff and even Vanatsky would have gotten some time in the spring game. I mean, Matthew Baldwin threw 36 passes, I think it was.
36, I believe it was.
Yeah, and Justin Fields threw 13. Now, that's not to say that Baldwin was ahead of Fields or anything, but they were more than happy to have Baldwin throw the ball around the shoe. And that was a missed opportunity in hindsight. There was no way for them to know. And for people who thought Ohio State coaches, you know, had to have known, that's proof that they didn't know, because they would have never given him that kind of time and that many snaps in the spring game if they thought, 5 days later that he'd be gone?
I think in their ideal world, what you have is a competition that's kind of neck and neck. Fields wins. Fields starts 2 years, goes pro. Then Baldwin starts redshirt junior. I think that was kind of probably the plan in their minds.
Right.
It had to be.
Right. Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And then you have Jack Miller coming in. If Jack Miller proves as a sophomore that he's more than ready, then maybe he beats out Baldwin. But that's a real competition. And you have two quality quarterbacks. Next year, I think, first of all, Jack Miller coming in, he's a highly rated guy. They feel very good about him. But this year, I mean, one of the things that gave Justin Fields an advantage over Matthew Baldwin, who again coming off ACL surgery, is that Fields is a great runner. I'm not saying he's Braxton Miller runner, but he's a really good runner. And now you've got to think every time that you call for one of those runs, do we put him at risk? I don't know that Ohio State's going to change dramatically, but that's got to be a thought in their head that we can't have this guy doing what JT Barrett did and running 15, 20 times a game. You can't risk that because you have nobody behind him. I mean, Dwayne Haskins was behind JT Barrett. They don't have that.
And that's the thing that you wonder why maybe from a football perspective, Matthew Baldwin didn't stick around, because the old cliche is you're one play away. Right. And also The other side of the coin is we don't really know how good Justin Fields is going to be. What if happens if they lose a couple of games in September, or he's just kind of so-so and maybe they want to give him some looks? I don't think that would necessarily happen, but I mean, you never know how things kind of go once you start playing games.
Well, now there's no choice. I mean, if Justin Fields is healthy, he will be the Ohio State quarterback. There's zero question about that. There's just no question about that. Now you have to hope, honestly, that I think their bigger priority in a way is making sure that Chris Chuganoff or whoever they might get as a grad transfer gets up to speed and can be a viable option if something happens to Justin Fields, because boy, you talk about a season that could go south very, very quickly. That's how the season goes south very quickly.
I'm going to be curious if they can find a grad transfer to come in and be a backup, because on the one hand, it's actually not an awful scenario for somebody. You come in, you'll be the Ohio State backup quarterback. Maybe something happens with Justin Fields, you get a shot. Maybe you get a chance to play up and get a big compete for a Big Ten title, go to a big time bowl game, even if you don't start. That could be a kind of a cool life experience you end up telling your kids about in 25 years.
Right.
But with a lot of grad transfer quarterbacks, these are kids who want to go play. Like Matt Fink was a guy from USC who announced yesterday that he was going to leave. He was going to want to be the third string quarterback. Well, he told reporters that he wanted to go somewhere where he can play and have a chance to start, which is why a lot of the guys who leave, Kelly Bryant at Clemson last year, transferred because Trevor Lawrence was a starter. So I think it's going to be a real trick is getting somebody who wants to come in and be a backup and who's could be a high-level player.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, this is going to be maybe Ryan Day's biggest selling job that he's going to have to do, because, as you said, which your pitch is, we really, really need you. And by the way, we really, really hope you don't play. Significant minutes, at least. Significant time. And any quarterback's going to realize that. They're going to see Justin Fields is here. They're not going to beat out Justin Fields. You know what you're getting into. So it's going to have to take a mature guy and a talented guy, because the other thing is they only have three quarterbacks on the roster. You need more than that just to be a practice arm. Just because you don't want to wear out Justin Fields. You don't want to wear out Chris Chuganoff. Danny Vanaski, it's just a moment in the sun. You know, it's amazing to think about the quarterback stuff. And I've covered the team long enough. You know, Kenny Guyton was a guy that when they signed him before Meyer, he was like the emergency guy. His only other option was Prairie View A&M. And when Kenny Guyton got here, it was like the idea of Kenny Guyton playing any kind of meaningful football would have put fear in Urban Meyer's head. I mean, and yet he became, because it was hard work, one of the most beloved quarterbacks in the history of Ohio State. I mean, he rallied them to some key wins. He set some records. It was an amazing story. They have to hope that they find that kind of story again. You know, Kenny Guyton Jr., if you're out there, Ohio State wants you.
Do you think it's even possible for them to sell somebody to come here? Also, do you think they'll try and say, hey, you can compete for a job in fall camp? Or you think that'll even go out the window and they won't even try and go there?
If a grad transfer quarterback bought that, I would question his degree. Because he would have to know, and his coach would have to tell him this, Justin Fields was the number two overall prospect in the 2018 recruiting class. You're not going to beat him out. But that doesn't mean you're not really important. Because, as you said, you know, the cliche is true, one snap away. And I think they can get somebody decent. I think that, but it has to be the right person who can accept that role, who can come in and work his butt off to learn the playbook and develop some chemistry with the receivers. But this is going to have to be, in 2014, when Braxton Miller got hurt and then JT Barrett got hurt against Michigan, the team rallied around that, and they all knew we got to raise our game. Well, this is a little bit like that. Now, obviously, Justin Fields, if he stays healthy, they got, at least on paper, a really good quarterback. But I think this will make the rest of the team realize we really need to make sure, first of all, Justin Fields is as comfortable as he can be. That means working out extra with him in the summer when before practice, and coaches really can't be involved, then that's what they're going to do. And I think they also have to look in the mirror and say, okay, I've got to be the very best I can be, because we are working without a safety net this year.
This kind of, we talked about this a little bit offline, and I kind of, you joked about it a few minutes ago, but do you think there was an actual competition at all with Baldwin and Fields in spring practice?
Yeah, I think there was. I mean, do I think that Fields was the number one guy? Yeah, I do. I mean, based on what we saw in practice, based on what we, first of all, we saw that he took first team reps, the fact that we thought he threw better, and certainly as a running component. And I'm not saying Baldwin's not can't run at all, because he can, but Fields can be special. He made a couple spin moves and some, I mean, he's quick. And so I think that it was probably more of a political thing, in the sense that the coaches didn't want to just tell Justin Fields that he was the starter, or tell Matthew Baldwin he wasn't. Would people have been very surprised that if Matthew Baldwin had emerged as the starter? Yeah, I think yes. Mm-hmm. But I think Ryan Day was smart in not doing it. Why would you tell somebody, you want that competition, you want them to be a little uncomfortable. You don't want somebody to go into the summer thinking, I'm the quarterback. I'm the starter. I don't have to work that hard. And you want to give the backup the feeling like he can win the job. There was no reason not to extend the competition, I guess.
Yeah, and I agree. I think there's been some kind of chatter about whether it's actually a real competition. And I agree with you. Also, if you're the coaching staff, why would you pigeonhole yourselves into having one guy be your starter in April? And they also didn't have this long window where they were able to really watch and coach and mentor both these passers. Baldwin was coming off knee surgery all last year. Fields was playing for Georgia. Fields may have a great eight practices. They may feel he's going to be the guy eventually, but you don't call your shot at this point on the calendar.
No. And there were people who thought this thing was a charade, and that there was no real competition at all. I think there was a competition. And if Matthew Baldwin had clearly outplayed Justin Fields this spring, and assuming Matthew Baldwin's whatever off the field issues were in terms of him wanting to leave, if that weren't a factor, I think if Matthew Baldwin had outplayed Justin Fields, then Matthew Baldwin would be the starting quarterback. I mean, the coaches have no incentive other than to play the best player, the player who gives them the best chance to win. I think most people thought that player was going to be Justin Fields. It's a real competition. And for people to say it was a charade, or that it was. I mean, I think Fields probably won it, or was going to win it, but that doesn't mean it wasn't a real competition.
And I'm sure coaches have an idea in their mind who they think is going to win it, but they're going to go through the motions, and they're going to see who's going to come out. That doesn't mean they're not going to have their biases, but
you're going to play. If you're a coach and your livelihood is dependent on playing the best players, you're going to play the best player. There's no politics involved with that, and there shouldn't be, at least. If there is, then that's a bigger problem. And I don't think Ryan Day, like Urban Meyer before him, would have tolerated it. I think, first of all, you lose all credibility with your team if you don't play the best players. Now, that doesn't mean the most talented player necessarily. It means the player who, for any number of reasons, leadership, toughness, talent, gives you the best chance to win. And any coach who doesn't follow that is not going to be a coach for very long.
Ryan Day also kind of strikes me as, I don't want to say cutthroat, but he comes from the NFL background, where it's not everyone gets, it's a more serious business. You're going to play the best guy because you got a 2 or 3 year window to win. Otherwise, you're out in the NFL.
Right. It's not about feelings. It's about production and about winning. And look, when Gene Smith introduced Ryan Day at the Urban Meyer retirement press conference, and said all these wonderful things about Ryan Day, but he also, you better win. This is Ohio State. This is 7-5, 8-4, 9-3, 10-2 most years, really isn't good enough. I mean, you have to be one of the top programs in the country year in, year out. And Ohio State, unlike every other program in the country, has never had an extended dip. So the standard is set. Matthew Baldwin transferring doesn't change that. I think if something happens to Justin Fields, then people will understand if they have a pretty shaky year by Ohio State standards. But if Fields is healthy, then the standard remains the same. And basically, I think at this point, it's playoffs or bust. I think that's at least Big Ten championship or bust. I think most people would consider last year successful, but there are a lot of people who think last year was disappointing, and they were 13-1, won the Big Ten championship, beat Michigan badly, I mean, embarrassed their rival, win the Rose Bowl, and still a lot of people are like, it was okay. Look, there was reason for thinking that too. The Purdue game was a disaster. There were other games where they didn't play particularly well and survived, but that just tells you what it what the standard is at Ohio State.
What was Urban's winning percentage? It was at Ohio State. It was over 900, wasn't it?
He never lost more than two games in a season, 7 years. It's astounding what the program is right now. It is. And, you know, Alabama and Clemson, I think, are ahead of Ohio State. I think that's any objective person would agree with that. But I'm not sure there's a third that's, I mean, Oklahoma's on that level with Ohio State. Other than that, you know, I think Ohio State's that team. And so it's going to be interesting. And I'll be very curious to see what happens with the quarterback, whether they can find somebody that fits what they need, is, as you said, you know, is good enough to merit coming and is accepting enough to understand he's not going to really compete for the starting job. We'll see.
Yeah, it's tough. It's going to be a tough balancing act. You're going to have to really thread a needle. You're also going to need Justin Fields to really be good.
Yeah, yeah.
It's more pressure on him.
Oh, there's no question. I don't think anyone who covers Ohio State can say they know him very well, because he's only been here a few months. He strikes me as being a mature kid. He strikes me as being a self-assured kid. I think that he knows he's talented. He's shown humility. He's not been cocky. He's talked about just fitting in and learning things and all that. But you talk about coming in, and you just did the story, Joey, on Haskins telling him this is what's expected of an Ohio State quarterback. The Ohio State quarterback holds a certain weight in Columbus, in Ohio, that you have to appreciate. It's not just playing the position. It's embodying the role, almost, of being the quarterback. JT Barrett accepted it. I'm sure there were plenty of times when he was being criticized. The last thing he wanted to do was be the face of the program or talk to the media every week. He did it. He understood that was what he had to do. That's what Justin Fields has to do also. He has to be the face of the program. He has to accept the responsibility in good times and bad times to be that guy. And that, as much as his on-field performance, is going to determine a lot of Ohio State's success.
It is always a good night to talk about quarterbacks. We will we'll probably pause there. We're going to be continuing this podcast throughout the summer, and then over the next month or so, there'll be kind of ongoing developments with the team. If you ever want to ask questions, tweet at any of us, and maybe we'll kind of throw together some mailbag episodes. Thanks again for listening. If you enjoy the podcast, feel free to rate us on iTunes. It'll help us spread the word and grow this podcast. Thank you again for listening, and thank you again to Bill's Couch for hosting this podcast.
And the dog cooperated for the most part.
Very good. Well behaved. 11 months old. Already got it down. Thanks for listening. Talk to you later.
Be sure and subscribe to the Buckeye Extra podcast in the iTunes Store, the Google Play Store, or on Stitcher.